Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I was reading this morning, and I read a testimony of someone who started going to church. And they started going to church because they wanted to get what they felt they were in need of. And they really didn't know what that was. They just said, I knew that I had some needs in my life, so I thought church would be the place to go. And so I was reading this testimony. And so after a short time, they said, of going to church, they realized that they were not there just to get what they were in need of, but they were there to give what others were in need of. And that's when they finally started realizing, okay, I finally got what I was looking for. What I was in need of was to fulfill other people's needs, to give to them what was needed. And so I just pray every Sunday that we do receive more of what we are in need of. I don't ever want to say that church isn't a place where you can get filled and that there are things that you're in need of that the Bible helps you to realize and recognize as areas of your life that need changed. Because our biggest needs are met of God, and I believe that when you come to church, we're here collectively to serve and worship God, and He's going to meet your needs. But I also think equally as important as you mature in the Lord is to meet the needs of others to the best of your ability. And there's a verse in Scripture, before we get to Philippians, Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says, our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. It says, then they won't be unproductive. I think what we're finding right now in our society is a lack of production. And I think some of that can be brought on by a government that's just out of whack. That's kind of just redneck term, but they messed up. I don't understand everything that's going on, but I can tell you that right now there's some productivity that's not happening that could be happening. And so I want to talk about what we are to do and how we can get our needs met and how we can meet the urgent needs of others, because there's people that are in need. And so I want to talk about this morning. I'm just going to tell you the words you're going to be looking for here, because it's the title of my sermon today. It's, we need to press on. Regardless of what you're seeing in our world, there's got to be a pressing on. These two words are used in Philippians 3, and I want to read. We're just going to read Philippians 3. And if you're not there yet, at least be, hopefully you're in the book of Philippians. Go ahead and turn to chapter 3, and here we go. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Now, I really want to keep reading, but let's just stop there. I just don't know what's going to happen. Okay, I get that. And in our world, I don't really know exactly what's going to happen. I know that we have Jesus coming back. Well, when? He's coming back. Whatever happens, brothers and sisters, people of Jesus, whatever happens, my dear fellow Christians, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. If you start watching Christians become defeated, you're not going to see their joy in the Lord. And we can't live defeated. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul goes on to say, I never get tired of telling you these things. I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us, and we put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, Paul just tells it the way it is. I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. But indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Here's why. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, fellow Christians, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God, little g, is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He'll take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. I want to pray over this. Father, I pray that this scripture would just illuminate. It would glow. It would shine brightly in our lives, a complete understanding of how we are to be as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. This past world, we have seen so much change. We have seen things happen, and I'm like, oh my, what is happening? What is happening? And here's what I can tell you. Whatever happens, I have been told to rejoice in the Lord. And I just want to make sure that we don't quit teaching that right here. In church every Sunday, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. And then just a quick outline here of this passage in verse 7. Everything is worthless that I have done compared to what Jesus did. Everything I've done is just, it's worthless compared to what Christ did for us. And then in verse 13, it tells you, forget the past. And then do what? Forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. What's ahead? The future. Man, I just don't look forward to tomorrow. Well, you're out of line with Scripture. Because Scripture says, forget the past and look forward to. Man, I tell you, turn on the news and there ain't nothing to look forward to unless you know Jesus. See, and if we know Jesus, we start looking forward to the future. And then in verse 14, press on, press on, press on. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. And then I love this, let the spiritually mature agree. All right, who goes, today I'm in agreement. Yeah, that means we can put ourselves in the spiritual mature category. If we're not going to agree on the word, then we've got a problem. And we've got churches rising up that are saying that Jesus is not the only way. That's not a right church. That's a false teaching. See, there's things that are going on that are being taught that are false. And you've got to be aware of those dogs. You called them dogs? No, Paul did. I'm just talking about what he's... I press on to reach the end of the race. Why do you want to end the race? To receive the prize. There is a prize. Come on, there's a prize. There's something to look forward to. I like prizes. I don't know about you, but I really like when I know what they are. I don't like hidden prizes or surprises. I like to know. And there's a prize that we're looking forward to. And then he says, hold on to the progress we've made. Pattern your lives after Paul and learn from those that are following that example. So we've got people that are following Paul's example right here today. And because of that, we can pattern our lives after those that are following Paul's example. Be careful. There are many who act like they're enemies of the cross. There are many who act like it. And there are many who are enemies of the cross. And you need to know this. They are headed to destruction. Be careful that you're not hanging with them. We're waiting eagerly for his return. And I know this. He is going to bring, according to Scripture, he's going to bring everything under his control. You know what that tells me? That everything right now is not under his control. Oh, don't worry. God's in control. It says he will bring everything under his control. Well, you mean not everything's under his control right now? No. There's a little God, the little G God of this world that it talks about in Philippians 3. And he does have some power, but he only has a power that is given to him. Because Jesus defeated that, and as we align ourselves with him, he doesn't have that power, and we can bring God's control into our situation. So you need to understand. So I understand when people are saying, don't worry, God's in control. I get that he's in control, but only if you give him that control in your life, because there's a lot of people that are not giving the Lord control, which means the little God, the enemy Satan, has some control because he's only able to operate under the control he's given. And when we give that to him, well, I'm not doing that. Well, there's some people that obviously are, because I can watch as we've got abortion, we've got the things going in the world that are happening, man marrying man. That's not possible according to God's law, God's scripture, God's commands. So there's some things that aren't possible. Well, don't worry, God's in control. Okay, so God's in control of those two men getting married. Yeah. No. Right. No. Now, can he come in and make a change? Absolutely. But I'm talking to those who have already submitted their lives to Christ. And so we're not in agreement with all of that. And we're walking in and under his control in our lives because we've submitted ourselves to him. But know this, we live in a world that not everybody has done that. That's why I love this place, because it's full of a bunch of people who say, I'm committed to the Lord and I'm under his control. I've committed my life to him. That's what I want. I have a desire. So what I want to encourage you today, that's us. Don't give up. Press on. Press on. Many give up. Man, I've just been trying, and I just want you to know anything worth having doesn't come easy. Let me just say that again, because this is a good line to teach your young people. Anything worth having doesn't come easy. The country we live in didn't come easy. The life that we have didn't come easy. The building we're sitting on with heat on didn't come. There are work that has gone in, and it didn't come easy to have the good things of life. And so when you take on a new challenge for your life, you've got to ask yourself a question. And here's what I want to go on. If you're going to press on, you've got to know that what you're pressing on towards is worth it. Yeah. And so I ask you this question. What are you pressing on to? I'm going to press on. What's the prize and what race are you in? See, I'm going to press on. All right, well then, what is it that you're pressing on towards? Let me just ask it like this. How bad do you want it? And you say, well, what's it? I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. What's it? There's a lot of things that are worth pressing on towards. And you've got to answer this question first. Is there a want? Is there a want? We are in a world where I hear this phrase all the time. And I know that I've been guilty of saying it, and I try to correct myself when I say it, and I have heard others here say it. I have to, da-da-da. I have to go to work. I have to go to church on Sunday. I have to go out to dinner with my family. I can't go fishing. I have to, and we find ourselves saying I have to. My question is, you don't have to do anything. There needs to get to a place in life where you have a want to. Well, what do you want is a great question to ask. I can tell you this, that as a Christian, all the wants, that whatever you are doing, what do you want? I want these things to accomplish whatever I want. I want to be productive in what I want. I want to be blessed with whatever I'm wanting. I want to have the fruits of the Spirit present in my life, in my wants. Give you a personal testimony. Several years ago, I sang with a group that we had decided we were going to do something on a national basis. And so we went to Nashville, and we had several meetings with some top name people in the record industry. And at that time, we were looking at going in and expanding our horizon to a national standpoint. I mean, that was kind of what we thought we wanted, because we had a want to. And so we went and met with a professional artist management company, and we met with a lady who came and had dinner with the guys that I sang with, and we all sat around, and her question was this for us: what are your wants? And when we started telling her our wants, our first major want for all four of the guys that I sang with is we wanted a good family. That was our number one want. We wanted a good family. I wanted to make sure that our families didn't fall apart, because I've watched people who went in to the industries that we were looking at going into and their families would fall apart. So first and foremost, we want a good family. And then we went through a lot of other things. And so we gave her all of this list, and she said, I don't even have to go back and enter all this into a computer to find out if you're capable. Because she goes, I know all of you. I have studied all of you, and your talent is there. We're like, we're in. She goes, but there's a problem. She goes, your want to is not big enough. You want other things more than you want this. And that professional artist management company would not sign us. I remember that because it was a real point in my life where I realized my want to wasn't big enough for what we all four said we wanted, but we really didn't. But what we did want was more important. And so it was a place in life where I started realizing we have a lot of people who think they want something that they really don't want. And I watch it all the time with who young people put on pedestals as heroes, either sports players, music, you can name it, national spotlighted people. And they want this, and they want it, and some of those want it so bad that they forsake everything else to get it. Once again, I'm not talking to a bunch of people who don't know Jesus. I'm talking to people who've already committed their heart and life to Jesus today. And if that's the case, I ask you again, what do you want? What do you want? Because it's important that you answer that. If you're going to see yourselves this year at Christian Ministries Church in the vision of this church as being essential, I want you to know that sounds great. That just sounds great. And it looks like something that you possibly could do and see yourself as. The only thing is, if you are going to live and be essential, you have to know why you're essential. You need to know what is ahead of you in your essential life. And when you do know what is ahead, then you can work and press on to get that. But when you don't know what is ahead, you have a problem. Without having a knowledge of what's ahead of you, you don't have a want to. Without knowing that I want a good family, then I'm not going to press on to get a good family. See, with all of my want to being about being famous in the music industry, then I'm going to forsake the family, and that's where my want's going to. And we see this happening in God's people's lives. Where is your want to? In our society, I want you to know there is mass confusion. It's crazy, but it's mass chaos right now. How in the world did we get to mass confusion? Here's why. We don't have enough men and women in God who see themselves as essential with enough of a want to further the kingdom of God in a society that's fallen apart. I don't believe that's the case right here at Christian Ministries Church. So, next Sunday, look around at all the empty seats just right now. There's not a lot of them, praise God. But look around, there's some. Now, as you see those empty seats, is your want to big enough to find someone else to sit right there? Because there's going to be some profound messages on living an essential life in 2021. And I understand that there are going to be weeks that seats are empty, even yours where you sit. Although we don't have assigned seating, just FYI. Someone sits in your seat, say, praise not God, not get up. You know, what are the goals in our church? Where are we headed? Ultimately, Paul says we need to know where we're headed. Verse 20, we're citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So we have an understanding of the prize. Come on, that's just not much of a prize for me. Well, you need to get to know him better because he's worth it. I understand you committed your life so you could get to heaven. Now know why you want to go there. More than just so you don't have to go to hell. You've got to have long-term goals set up before you'll ever get short-term goals. And then as you get short-term goals, then they will head you towards your long-term goals. Our long-term goals as citizens of the kingdom of heaven is that we get to spend eternity with Jesus. That's a good thing. Heaven's a good thing. And so that's a long-term goal. Well, what are you doing in the short term as you're headed there? As a church, we need to be growing and maturing to the next level in our spiritual walk. For the church body itself, let me just give you some collective goals. Moving our worship to the next level. I don't know if you've seen over the last couple of weeks a trumpet on stage. That's cool. And I'm sitting here watching that area grow. I don't know if you've walked in this church and had someone smile and shake your hand and say, I'm glad you're here today. If you haven't, tell me, I'm going to tell somebody that we need to step it up. But we've pressed on in that area. See, we're going to keep getting better. We're going to greet more and more people, and we're going to allow people to feel welcome as they get here. We're going to invite others to church. If this is good for us, then why wouldn't it be good for someone else? Right. It would. So ask yourself, is this good for me? Well, yeah, it's good for me. All right, well, it's not good for anybody else. Who have you invited this week? Having things in order on Sundays and Wednesdays is important. Having fellowship, making time to spend with people of the church, taking each area of ministry to the next level, from the parking lot team, the security team, kids' church, coffee shop, worship. You just name it. We want every area to go to the next level. And we're going to press on to get us there. Every area to the next level. Now, we have so many different areas of ministry, and next month I'm going to talk a little bit more about the areas of ministry. Because if you're here, you need to be serving to meet the needs of others. Well, I only come to get my needs met. Let me give you a testimony again that I started with at the beginning of the service. You will finally realize that you're never going to get your needs met until you start meeting the needs of others. That's the meeting of your needs. So we've got areas in this body where you can serve. If you haven't been to a new member's dinner, you need to mark your calendar and you need to be there so that you understand a bigger vision of what's happening here. All have a gifting right here in this body, in these chairs, that will benefit the kingdom of God. And I'm not even teaching on that, but I want you to know that your gifting is needed here to meet the urgent needs of others. And everybody has a gifting. Unless you're not saved, and then it's not been shown, it's kind of hidden, so get saved. As individuals and families in the body of Christ, we need to work daily on treating others biblically. Amen. We need to work hard on this, because as you read Facebook or any other social media platform, it's real easy to jump on somebody's back, throw them under the bus. And we've got to work on treating others biblically. We need to make time to read our Bible. We need to get our finances in order. I mean, I'm just talking about just life. We need to work on getting our family in order, our kids, our adult kids. I mean, you've got all different, our kids that aren't born yet. How do I get them in order? You start praying. See, maybe it's learning to pray out loud. I know that's an issue, and it has been for a lot of people. I just can't pray. Don't ask, Pastor, don't ask me to pray. Maybe it's in sharing Jesus to someone. Well, praise God, we got some classes coming up that would teach you that. You got to have some goals to press on, or you got to have a desire to press. I just want to give you some quick things today to put in your thinker. Because we've got to have some areas, if we're going to press on, we've got to have some areas we're moving towards. And so as I give these to you today, you're going to see a church that has the possibility to press on and be essential, whatever we put our hands to. And what I'm telling you, it can make a difference in our society. But first, it needs to make a difference in our own lives. In the church, the way I've seen it, is that we are able to press on, but oftentimes our ability to press on is just the talent. The talent's there, but the want to's missing. Are you getting this? I'm still just trying to set up what I'm going to talk about today. Some of you are like, oh no, it's really quick. But in the church, we have the ability, but some of us are missing the want to. And what I can tell you is the same thing the lady told our group is you don't have enough want to. And so maybe today you just need to get some goals in your life set up so that the want to increases. Our want to's were in the wrong place, according to her. But according to what we wanted, they were in the right place. I ask you today, is your want to in the right place? Because all of you have a want to. And I praise God that you wanted it enough to be in church today. The world seems to have no idea about where we're going. I mean, they don't. They just don't have any idea. I mean, we're signing executive orders like they're going out of style. Come on, you knew I was going to bring some of that up. We're just signing away. I mean, what are you thinking? That's not going to work. Okay, I get that. So then my question is, where's the church? Where's the church? The church doesn't have a want to because we've looked at the government to meet every need. The church is going to have to start meeting some needs. I'm teaching these principles today so that you'll be praying about areas that you can implement in your personal life, in your family, and in your church. And I'm not filling out all those areas. I've mentioned a bunch of them already, but I've taught these principles that I want to teach today to young people, to our Leaders Academy. I've taught them at school for years. And I just got four quick points that you've got to know today in getting some goals. Because if you don't have some goals set up, you're not going to press on. And if you get some goals set up, you can press on. Here's your first point. Set a goal. Well, in what area? I don't know. You fill in the blank. You fill it in. Set a realistic and obtainable goal, something to move towards. Now hear this. If you're talking about setting a goal in finances, I'm not talking about owning a big high-rise complex when right now you're struggling to pay your bill on Friday. See, you've got to set obtainable goals. A lot of times people don't set obtainable goals. Praying out loud is an obtainable goal. Praying out loud is an obtainable goal. There's some things that in life you've got to set. Now, I'm trying not to fill in your blank, but you need to ask the Lord, what is my goal? Maybe it's getting more people in church. Maybe it's witnessing to somebody. Maybe it's sharing the plan of salvation with somebody. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your financially. I just can't make it to next week. I mean, I go to fill up gas and I have to lift the hose just to get every drop. I know I've been right there in every situation that you can come up with. There's nothing new as a problem. The answer is always going to be the same. It's a biblical principle. It's going to get you out of it. And so you got to get a goal. And we would all like to flip a switch and just all of a sudden be at our goal, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to set a goal that's obtainable. You've got so many people that fail to accomplish a goal because they set something that they can't even see in the visible future, and so they just give up. If your goal is to pray an hour a day, then you don't tomorrow say, okay, I'm going to start praying an hour a day. You set an obtainable goal. I'm going to pray 5 minutes a day for the next week. And you say, well, you're supposed to pray all the time. I get that. But have you started with 5 minutes? Yeah. See, there's some goals that we need to get in our life. And you're never going to get anywhere with handling your money if you can't handle it between now and tomorrow. Well, I'm needing to handle my money for this month. How are you doing in the next 5 minutes? So you're going to have to set some obtainable goals. And if we don't set some goals that are obtainable, then just, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to live frustrated. So you can't stop with just setting the goal, but you got to set one. So set an obtainable goal. Number two, you got to set a strategy to reach your goal. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, don't begin until you count the cost. Don't begin until you count the cost. Who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Set aside a strategy that gives you points to reach. See, I'm going to set down a blueprint. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, and then I will stop at this point, and then we'll work at the next one, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to set obtainable goals and then a strategy to get to that. Set aside time to read your Bible and pray uninterrupted. But if you do that, you're going to have to find a time to do it. Well, how am I going to do that? You're going to have to get up earlier. Okay, well, getting up earlier, so I'm going to write that down. I've been getting up at 6, I'm going to get up at 5:45. That's all great, except for here's the problem. You need a certain amount of sleep. Everybody knows what your amount is. Just know this, if you don't move your go-to-bed time 15 minutes earlier, then you're probably setting yourself up for failure right off the bat. What does your strategy look like? Parents, are we teaching our kids this? You say, I can't believe we're being taught this in church. I can tell you it's where our society is. Nobody's seeing themselves as essential because they can't even sit down and live by budget. They can't sit down and get some strategy set up to reach the goals. And they can't do it in the natural life. And they're sure not getting it in their spiritual life. Yeah. How much time are you spending in your day praying in the spirit? Well, why would I need to do that? Because power comes when you're praying in the spirit. I'm just telling you, you need to build that spirit man up because right now the world's trying to attack everything you are. You're going to have to make some plan. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. Remember that little old proverb there? It's don't plan to fail. The goal, if you want to be a disciple, here's what you do. You count the cost. You count the cost. Well, what's it going to cost me? If I was going to be a professional in the music industry, it would have cost me my family. I'd have had to move to Nashville. There was all these things that we would have had to have done and we didn't have a big enough want to. Is your want to big enough to pray out loud? I don't know why I'm caught up on that. Just the Lord kept impressing that upon me this morning as I was praying. that was something that somebody's dealing with today. I just don't know if I can pray out loud. It's just hard for me. It's just, well, you get a plan to where you can. Jesus used the analogy of a builder who set forth to build. The man didn't properly plan the project and its cost. And as a result, the builder was humiliated because he had to stop the work before the building was completed. Setting goals for your life is a wise and prudent thing to do. But if you fail to set a strategy to obtain that goal, you'll more than likely fail to reach it. Setting a strategy to reach a goal is just basically making a roadmap. Setting out how to get from point A to point B, then to C and D and so on. It's a roadmap of realistic expectations. Daily, weekly, and monthly achievements to reach your goal. Now, if you get off track, you quickly just get back on track and revisit your strategy. See, without the blueprint, when you're off track, you're like, I don't know where I'm at. So you just got to get back into the strategy. Keep your plan simple. Allow for some mistakes and corrections along the way. When you set your strategy to succeed, you'll be well on your way to achieving the spiritual goals that you've set for yourself. Now, when there's a setback, you got to recalculate. My GPS, take a U-turn immediately. It happens all the time. You need to take a U-turn. You need to turn around. You're going the wrong direction. And I can tell you, that happens in life. You go in the wrong direction. You look back and you find the last 3 weeks you've not been in church. What's your roadmap look like? What was my goal? I forgot my goal. I got a roadmap. I got a goal. I got those things. Hey, number three, you got to commit to your goal and strategy. Because just having it without a commitment is going to mess you up. You can sit there and plan it all out and then not be committed. For years, I would have a goal or strategy, and then something would ultimately pull me away. It was usually hunting, fishing, racquetball, snowmobiling, four-wheeling. I mean, you just go right down the list. I was a hobbyaholic. I don't know that that's a word, but I invented it. And I had 100 hobbies, and I wanted to do all of them all the time. And see, what would happen is that my commitment, my want to, was stronger there than it was in the other things I had made strategy and roadmaps to get to. So you can make it and then not be committed to it. If I'm going to be successful in what I've set out to do, I've got to be committed to my goal and I've got to have a strategy to get it done. Commitment is that inner voice of conscience telling me that I've set out to do something that is very important and that I need to take a view of it at all times and keep it right there, all the time. Now, it's also sometimes not an inner voice, but it's another voice that's saying, hey, how you doing? You ever had an accountability partner? You know why they have gym memberships? I mean, you can just work out at home, but it takes a real strong inner voice just to work out at home. What's better is your buddy saying, get up out of bed, we're going to work out today. Now we're going tomorrow. We're going the next day. You get somebody to work out with you and you got someone standing beside. The other thing is when you're walking on a treadmill or you're doing some steps on a step machine and you got someone else standing right there beside you and you're going like this and they're going like this, you're like, I better step it up a little bit. See, you got somebody else right. There's just something about having someone else that's committed to doing what you're doing and it moves you to another place. Now emotional and physical energy deplete. But a commitment and an inner voice and even an extra voice will do things for you. After a realistic, obtainable goal has been set, you've got a strategy to meet that goal, and then you've set yourself committed to the goal and the strategy, then you have one more step. And this is the last one, number four, it's what you've been waiting for. Regularly evaluate your progress and make adjustments. You've got to evaluate where you're at. I told our ministry team at our last leadership meeting, I said, here's what you got to know. You need to check your fruit all the time. In your area of ministry, you've got to know. If you have a business, then you have logs telling you how much you made this year, how much you made last month, how much you made 1 year ago, and you check your progress to see if you are at least maintaining or if you're growing. And if you want to grow a business, maintaining is not going to work. You're going to have to find out what's not working well, and we've got to make adjustments, and we've got to go to the next level. We've got to do that with the coffee shop. We've got to do that with the greeting team. We've got to do that with the parking lot team. We've got to do that with our security team. We've got training going on, and I'm just telling you, in every area, I'm meeting with leaders, and I'm watching them take their area of ministry to another level. Praise God. The way that happens is you continually look at your area, and you make adjustments as you evaluate your progress. What's your fruit look like right now? Well, I don't know. Ask somebody else. Ask somebody else that you look up to or that you see the fruit you're headed towards. Well, hey, look at my life. What do you see in my life? Well, what about in your area? What if it's praying out loud? What about church attendance? Ask somebody else. Well, I'm at church every Sunday. Ask somebody else and see. Ask somebody that sits next to you. Hey, what do you think about my church attendance? I don't think many people ask that, but ask that question. Pastor, you're just in everybody's business. No, I'm not. Paul was. Paul says, I press on. I press on. I guess I am because I'm on Paul's team. If we're going to be on Paul's team, we're helping each other out. We got to evaluate our progress and make adjustments to stay on track. For those of you listening on podcast or hearing this online, let me just throw this out real quick. We won Christian Ministries Church's school, Christian Ministries Academy, won the state tournament this last weekend in Missouri of the Christian schools of Missouri. It was awesome. Now, at halftime, we were 9 points down, and before halftime, we were 15 points. We had a little rally right there at the end of the first half. And I was at this game, and I don't like the feelings that were going through me. They were testing me. And I was like, okay, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to have to operate as Christ would operate? I mean, I'm telling myself this sitting in the stands. And so after the game, let me just jump forward. We end up winning by 12 points. So that's the end of the story. Yay, team. It was great. And I felt a lot better. But after the game, I went back to the restroom and Hunter was in there. He's changing clothes. And I said, Hunter, what was the difference in the game? What happened? I said, what was said at halftime? That's what I wanted to know. Because when we came back after the first half, I was kind of amazed at how it turned around. See, the other team had this one young man that was, I don't know if he was that good or if he was just that lucky that day. I don't like that word, but maybe God, he had just been in tune with the Lord that morning. And I was like, God, please reveal sin in our team's life if this is what the problem is. I don't know what's going on. I hate to pray against this boy, but good grief. 40-some points. Everything he'd throw up, I mean, hands behind the back, ball over here, and then woohoo, and throwing it up at the 3-point, and psh, 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 40 points. I'm like, something needs to happen to him, and I don't want our kids to take him out. I didn't think I did. I just couldn't get him. What's happening? So I asked Hunter, what did Coach tell you guys? He said, all he said was, Peyton, sick him. That's exactly what happened. If I had a nickname for Peyton yesterday and I called him a gnat, you ever had one of them around your face? That was Peyton to that young man. Now, Peyton could have done it without the rest of the team, but his gifting stepped up. And it wasn't about a bunch of points, because we had people that could score. We just had another guy on the other team that had to be scoring more. He had to be shut down. And I just watched this sick'em take place, and I watched the rest of our team step it up, and I watched the whole team press on, and then I watched the prize. And I thought, I can share that tomorrow. I can share that tomorrow. As we as we set some goals, I pray that they're a lot bigger than just the state championship. But I'm glad we set that one. And I'm glad we got it. Where am I in goal setting? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Personal commitment to the Lord in your marriage, in your family, in your job, in your friends, in your fellowship, and in your church. Whatever you do today, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Yeah. And maybe you're at halftime and you find yourself 9 points down. Yeah. You can still win this thing by 12. Yeah. Yeah. You can still win. Let's get some goals set. Amen. Let's get some goals set. Let's get some strategy set up to get us there. Let's commit to the strategy, and then let's check it out and see how the fruit's going. Amen. Did you get that today? Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.